Fine. It's fine.
It's gone.
It's all good.
I
Here's one
didn't
for you if you
do all
want
that. I didn't do all this musical stuff for the kid to work out that you can't cover your face up with makeup.
it. David, how the heck are you?
Yeah, good.
Bloody
How are you,
awesome.
Madonna?
So I've just had all this stuff in my brain because I was part of a tute last week with a lady who's been dealing with neurological issues from a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor perspective for over 40 years.
Right.
So going back to when autism was 4 in 100,000, so 1 in every 25,000 people. So, when you sort of talk about, she's looked at the major causes. So she was part of a whole worldwide group of people who were at the cutting edge of what was going on, doing all sorts of really expensive testing for these kids and adults and just finding out what the real triggers were and what they needed to do to start unraveling these neurological things, which of course are down, I think it's 1 in 10 kids in the world now have neurological disorders in Western countries. So, it's
Things
just
like
through the roof.
in the group of ASD, autism, and ADHD, and
Anxiety, depression.
dyslexia,
All of that sort of stuff. So, when we're,
neurodiversity.
absolutely. But it's through the roof. And even remember we talked once about the resilience study. So because the States does a census every 10 years, and part of that is filling out a whole bunch of questions about stuff. One of the seminars I went to, maybe it was a happiness seminar or something like that, but they showed how every decade in the States, people's resilience was gone down 10%. So, as a general rule, now it's probably a combination of everything, a combination of needing two incomes for the house, a combination of fear of how much it costs to raise children, a combination of, the stress about how much, what we need to do to get by in this world, as well as all the environmental pollutants, all the 3G, 4G, 5G, that stuff affecting our brains, the screen time, so much stuff connects to it. It's a million things.
Working too hard.
Working too hard, exactly. Like people in the 50s could have one income and a fairly decent life on one wage, and they changed the banking system and then it wasn't possible anymore. But anyway.
Well, just part of that, there's also studies out there, lady called Erica Commissar, and her idea is that it's that working obsessive with two people working and not giving enough attention to the kids when they're babies, especially under the first 3 years, that can cause stresses that may contribute to things like ADHD or at least exacerbate them.
And then you've got all these young influencers who will never get married, they'll never have children because that's what they've been brought up to believe, that the world isn't a decent place. So, and they're out there being vocal against people who are getting married and having children. Like the chicky baby who's in the current Snow White movie. Like, check out some of her posts that are
Oh,
full hate-filled and all sorts of
no,
fun
but the
stuff.
decision not to have kids is universal, and it's leading to it's going to lead to pretty severe
Depopulation. Absolutely. Well, in
population
Hungary,
issues because it's people aren't noticing, but it's just collapsing in one
absolutely, it's
generation.
collapsing. Without a doubt. And Hungary has actually made a law this week where any woman, any married woman, so for a start, they believe in marriage and they believe in children and they believe in maintaining their population. So any woman who has two children never has to pay tax for the rest of their life.
Sure. Well, people can say that, except really, if people aren't having children, they don't want to have them. Or there's a biological
That
thing.
is crap. Remember going back 15 years ago, Johnny Howard gave people $2,000 if they had an extra kids and people were going out and buying flat screen TVs. So, we actually increased our population here in Australia for the cost of $2,000. So that did happen in Johnny Howard's time.
Yeah, but the global depopulation that's happening means that young people are deciding that it's either not safe or it's not a good place to bring kids up.
Yeah, and that's the
And,
government's fault for creating an
well, it
environment where
can be,
people don't feel safe.
but if it's actually true that toxins are making everyone sick, then it's a true story.
Yeah, so we've got to do something about it. So that's what we're going to chat about because Robin Cosgrove is a really well-known Australian functional medicine doctor, and she's been very, very outspoken for all sorts of shenanigans for 40 years. So, like I said, ever since autism was only 4 in 100,000 more than 40 years ago compared to what it is today. And they've put together a fairly decent overview of what actually happens. So, part of it is that as we get unhealthier, blood tests allow us to be unhealthier. So, for example, if we've got the Streptococcus bacteria, so
Is
Streptococcus
that very common?
is very common. So you sort of, and that's a great question because the sort of symptoms that we have if we've got strep are runny nose, we've got postnasal drip, we can have chronic sinus infections, we
So
can
like
have
a
a,
cold.
yeah, but
Cold
snoring.
symptom.
Well, yeah, but what ends up happening if you've got this mucus, because people don't get rid of them. Some people, like one of my clients, she actually was on Facebook this morning saying that she's had sinus infections for 28 years. But what ends up happening is that people get so sick of it, they take lots of antibiotics. And what strep and staph can do is recognize the antibiotics. So both staph and strep,
Yeah,
so
that's right.
staphylococcus and
They've known that
streptococcus.
with staph for a long time, that it's antibiotic
MRSA, yes, so
resistant.
multi-resistant antibiotic resistant staph, absolutely, and the same thing happens with strep. So what ends up happening is that the antibiotics go through the wall of the bacteria through an efflux pump, goes into the belly where it's supposed to blow up the bacteria. It's not quite how it works, but sort of. But bugs, we haven't changed our antibiotics in 60, 70 years. So the antibiotics goes through, I just love this, goes through the wall of the staph or strep. The bug goes, I don't want to die, and just shunts the antibiotic back out through another efflux pump. Like, it's phenomenal. So these bugs are getting cleverer than we are. Just saying. They've got 1 million genes. We've only got 23,000. So bugs are more clever than we are. So, and obviously antibiotics. So these days, antibiotics aren't just the drug we take, but it's actually in our food. So there's a lot of genetic
They
modification.
found it in the water system,
Oh,
didn't
it's in
they?
our water supply, absolutely. But a lot of food, the seeds in food are genetically modified to have antibiotics in the entire plant. So when we are eating the plants, the fruits, the vegetables, if they've been genetically modified with antibiotics, that we're actually taking them in and destroying our gut bacteria. And yes, I know he's a vegetarian, but it's in the meat supply as well. We have a huge amount because the animals are all vaccinated and antibiotic the whole way through their life supply, unless you're eating organically, and then you've got to be careful and know
A
your
lot of fish
farmers.
that are grown in not naturally would too.
Yeah, exactly. So,
And more fish are becoming, they're grown artificially
yeah,
or
so
again.
you. So antibiotics are almost impossible to get out of our diet, because of the genetic modification of our food, because of even now, one of the things that was sort of that she made the comment on, and I remember again something that a lecturer said about 10, 15 years ago at a seminar I went to. She said she was a un she did not want to be someone who believed in vaccination, but because we're now third generations of women not breastfeeding. Again, because women are having babies getting back to work, having babies getting back to work. So they're losing their breast milk really quickly. Or they've been on medication that messes with their breast milk. Or they get sick and they need antibiotics and they're told not to breastfeed. So women, we're in our third generation, as opposed to our grandparents who would have, breastfed for a year or two.
Well, because they would have breastfed for a year because they're actually at home with the child.
Yeah, exactly. So parents are away, and now the diligent mums are actually doing, expressing, and putting it in the milk so that it can be, heated up for their bubbies.
Right, but a lot of these physical dysregulations they've found with emotional things, like for example, with attachment parenting, like staying with the child for a whole year, that has a really major effect on the early 3 years development in the brain, and keeping regulated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's a lot of evidence now that's showing that stresses
Yeah.
cause physical illnesses.
Yes.
And they found that in the ACE studies, Adverse Childhood Experience, that the stresses in childhood they expand out into physical problems in old age.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
whether you go from addiction to heart disease to cancer, but those stresses form disease later.
Yeah.
Or, earlier too,
Absolutely.
but
And from a kinesiology perspective, that's when I find those deep hidden survival patterns. So people don't even know they're there because they've just been running in the background for so long. And what ends up happening when we've got these deep survival patterns going is that we constantly have cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline whizzing through the body. And when they build up in the body, they're really inflammatory. They're pro-inflammatory. They drive things like insulin, and insulin destroys the capillaries when it's non-stop. We're supposed to get sugar and acid around the body when we need to, run up the tree, run from the lion, the tiger, the bear. But when we've got this stuff going on from day dot, because mum can't look after us anymore, and we're being given to a stranger at 6 weeks old in the daycare, and then we're not breastfed. When we're not
Which is a
breastfed,
very
what's
controversial issue.
well, no, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just
No,
saying,
it's
so
just a.
when women aren't breastfeeding for a year or two, that's the way the baby builds the immunity. That's why it's so good, because everything that's
Oh.
in that breast milk has come from the mother, the grandmother, the great grandmother. So everything that they've dealt with immune system wise, it's in the breast milk. Like, it's
And
phenomenal.
so breastfeeding has really reduced dramatically.
Hugely.
And
We've
so
got one in two babies in Australia born with C-section these days. So they're also getting all of that toxicity on day one of their life.
but also the stress of that.
Yeah. But there's trauma as well. There's anesthetics with bind, which binds all your B12. And B12 is important for the development of the nervous system. So, that's one in two kids in Australia is being born with a B12 deficiency or with anesthetic in their spinal cord. It's quite big. And then what does that do? And then they also use these antibiotic sprays during a lot of these things as well. So, they'll wipe it in with their, antibiotic stuff inside, so that they don't get infections.
So what's interesting here is the modern lifestyle is affecting parents' choices,
Yep.
which turn out to be, even though they're in accordance with whatever the mainstream thinking is doing,
Yes.
which we're told is right,
Yep.
we end up creating deficiencies in our kids.
Without a doubt.
And even though the narrative in society is we're doing the right thing,
Yes.
so that creates a cognitive dissonance with your parents.
And
We
again,
thought we've done the right thing, but we've left the deficit.
yeah. And even here in Australia, again, if we're told we've had a natural birth, if it ticks the tick box for a natural birth, all that means is it came out the birth canal. They can use any other medical intervention and still call it a natural birth. Everything except C-section is considered a natural birth, and it's so not natural. So, for example, pertussis, sorry, I wasn't thinking whooping cough, but the pertussis, it's like, no, Syntocin. Oh, crap.
Pertussis is
No,
the underlying
what's the
infection.
no, the oxytocin, Syntocin. There's a synthetic version of oxytocin that has been used since the 1960s in every single birth in Australia, even natural births, unless people are very, very onto it and say no. And it's injected into the mother during one of the last labor pains. And basically, that is a synthetic version that can bind the ends of our neurological nerves. So it can stop the baby releasing
Oh,
oxytocin.
really?
And what's one of these things we see in kids these days? Some kids just don't have that empathy. They don't have it. There's something missing in some children.
There's also an argument with that is that like a really good researcher on this is called Erica Commissar, and her the claim she makes is that mothers really need to be with the baby
Yep.
or their primary caregiver for a whole year.
Yeah, totally.
And if you can't do that and you go to work early, she says to repair, you need to do it later, maybe when they're a teenager. You just need to really be there for them.
Yeah.
And in all types of neglect and there's always loss behind it.
Yeah.
Not being there for someone, like that's a loss of attention
Yes.
or a loss of, and so.
But what it can do, and I'm sure you know this, it can mess with our ability to bond with anyone throughout our lifetime. So if you lose that ability to bond with your mum or your
That's right.
dad for whatever in that first,
Well, the primary
nine months of
in
life,
attachment theory, that needs to be your primary caregiver. And sometimes it might be because everyone's got a different circumstance,
Yes.
but it's hard for men to produce the type of
Well, they
oxy
can't breastfeed.
they can
I don't
also
care what anyone says, they can't
produce a
breastfeed.
different type of oxytocin to women.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the male oxytocin, you see it, they do it in roughhousing, but that's not helpful for that.
Yeah,
Calming
right.
the nervous system in the because in the first 3 years the lower part of the brain develops, and if that's not nurtured, comforted, the neuro links in here aren't very well developed,
Yeah, right.
and
That's really interesting.
which is when the brain's developing, so you end up with kids who don't have the same attachment,
Yeah.
and the science is pretty clear on this now,
Yeah.
and
Absolutely.
so we've got these multi-causes things where we've got some social decisions, some biological issues, and then some parenting things
Yeah.
that could all contribute to the dysregulation that we're talking about.
So I just Googled that. So oxytocin, often called the love hormone, plays a role in social bonding, reproduction, and emotional behaviors in both male and females. However, its effects can differ between the sexes due to biological and social factors. So for female, oxytocin is heavily involved in childbirth and breastfeeding. It stimulates uterine contractions during labor and helps with milk ejection after breastfeeding. It also strengthens the mother-child bond and promotes nurturing behavior. That's what everyone knows about oxytocin. In males, oxytocin influences social bonding and emotional connections, but it also plays a role in reproductive functions such as aiding sperm movement. In men, oxytocin is linked to behaviors such as trust and social recognition. How cool is that? Good one.
Except the particular way that women nurture babies, so men don't do that naturally.
Yep.
They tend to like be more fun, hands-on, right? So if men are going to be the primary caregiver, she recommends that you actually really need to learn those things that the mums are doing naturally.
Right.
You have to learn them because when boys do it, they're throwing the baby in the air, distracting them, all that.
I threw my baby in
Yeah,
the
but the mums are just cuddling them. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, it's like, because it's that bonding
Yeah.
that oxytocin is meant to make the bonding
And
happen.
that's the problem with giving a synthetic version of it during the birth canal. It can mess with the mum,
That's
it can
right.
mess with the baby. And and I've had actually one of our joint clients, some people have that real problem, with bonding with their babies.
Well,
And it
isn't
doesn't come naturally,
but
and
it,
this can be part of
that's
the
interesting.
reason.
And isn't it funny? Breastfeeding itself is such a deep holding, nurturing
Oh, it's so
position.
beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you can imagine the difference between that and that,
Yeah.
the bottle and the boob.
Oh, it's totally different. Totally different.
And so the other problem with discussing these things is that some people are in positions where they can't do
Oh,
it.
I'm fully aware
Like
of
some
that.
people don't,
Absolutely.
some mums don't get any breast milk,
Yeah.
right? And it's
Just
like,
so that there are herbs that increase breast milk naturally.
it's just that a lot of the ideal things that are recommended, like some people are single mums,
Yeah.
some people, there's all sorts of differences
Absolutely.
that makes it hard to do the ideal situation
Yeah.
to produce the best outcome. So we do the best we can.
Yeah. So herbs that increase breast milk are known as galactagogues. I always like
Galactagogue.
that name.
Battlestar
So things like fenugreek, fennel, blessed thistle, some Aries thistle, shatavari, and alfalfa. So it's a good thing.
She got
But
them
the
in
other
cupboard.
thing to keep in mind is that most, when I first started 30 years ago doing this, most women who saw me to fall pregnant, they knew that they needed to do a detox first. It
Right.
was really common. Naturopathically, we were the ones people came to do like a 3, 6, 12-month
I
detox
remember that.
before
I
breastfeeding.
remember when you were
That's
doing that.
been totally, like these days, everything you look at from a medical side says, no, that's what our liver's for.
They call it guidance these days, right? Have you heard that word?
No, anyway, whatever. So, it makes me crazy. But, it's one of those things where if we've been on any medications for the year or so before getting pregnant, that can mess with our child's ability to just develop normally. So you can imagine, because we now have 60, 70, 80 years of the same antibiotics, what that ends up doing is leading to an excessive load of streptococcus. And streptococcus is the main one with these neurological things. And that's about chasing the mucus. So the big sign, like you asked, way back at the beginning, well, what signs are there of this? Well, we have to think. Strep throat, chronic nose issues, snoring, breathing issues, all of that lung stuff, so it's
It could
mucus.
easily not be picked up, whereas something like staph,
Yes.
you end up with an infection that doesn't heal, so it's
That's
really
right.
obvious. Whereas in strep, you could go for years with just thinking you had a bit of
Yeah.
a coldy sort of,
And
oh, too much mucus.
I'll tell you a fun sign that I like. Some people end up with a bit of scar tissue across their nose. Have you ever seen that?
No, I
And
don't
it's
ever.
because people go like this,
Oh, really?
because they've just got this chronic little bit of sign, mucus in their nose. So yeah, it's really common, and I love picking up on people like that. I say, oh, did you have a, because those people often end up with tonsils and adenoids removed as well. They often end up with grommets, so all these things can happen really young in life. So strep, the problem with it is that the genetic makeup of autism is almost identical to the genetic makeup of Alzheimer's. So if we don't sort this stuff out, we've already messed with the gut-brain connection, when we have our antibiotics, either in our food or in our birthing
That's right.
process, or you get an infection, in week 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever, or after our vaccines, immune system goes down. So then you get an infection, you get put on antibiotics. So the streptococcus is the one that really just thrives. And what it ends up doing is increases this
Because the
stuff called
antibiotics change the gut bacteria.
absolutely. So every time you eat, the first thing you're feeding is your gut bacteria.
Right, which is why you want to chuck
And
some good probiotics in there as
well,
well.
that's right, but you also have to kill off the strep, because
Yeah.
guess what feeds strep?
What do you kill it with?
Well, there's lots of things, but yeah, we'll talk about that. But strep, you've got to so when you are eating white sugar, white flour, carbohydrates, and milk is a big one as well. So, but milk also increases mucus. So if kids have got mucus stuff, milk isn't good for them. I have nothing against milk as a food. I know a lot of naturopaths do. If we don't have an issue with it, I have no problem with it. So, and everyone's individual here. So some people will cope with it, some people don't. But those are the things we've got to really cut down. So you've got to cut out the sugar you've got, because otherwise we're continuing to create the D-lactic acid, which destroys the nervous system. It just adds this acidic load to the nervous system.
Well, so many of the white things are generally recommended to cut out when you're sick,
Yeah,
like white
right.
bread, white sugar, like the
Yeah.
ultra refined thing, which is interesting.
And the other thing is that the bug, so Streptococcus particularly, it doesn't like colourful food. So it doesn't like the fresh fruit and veggies
That's interesting.
because they've got antibacterial components to them. So the taste buds start to adjust depending on our gut microbiome. So if our microbiome's out of whack with this overgrowth of Streptococcus, we've got way too much Streptococcus in the system, and it's just there, creating the body. So they're releasing hormones that make you want to eat the wrong foods.
And not really consciously even.
No, it's not conscious. Well, it's like parasites.
Even though your taste buds are sort of technically conscious.
Well, parasites and Streptococcus, a lot of these negative bugs, they love a sweet, acidic environment.
Cancer too.
Cancer does too. Exactly. So, it's one of those things that we, it's well worth, like I like the bioresonance because it bypasses so the medical system, just by the way, if you go get a strep test, it will do the streptitis on it. So going back 40 years ago, it allowed you to have this much strep in your system, a small amount of strep before it said, you've got a strep infection. Because it's so ubiquitous these days, because of the combination of our diet and antibiotics and vaccines and toxins and stress, absolutely, they now allow us to have way more streptococcus in our body before even calling it an infection. So, which means as a general rule, Western society is becoming more and more and more and more strep resistant. So then you've got to get things in to kill it off, because the antibiotics create the strep creates the D-lactic acid. The D-lactic acid is a neurological problem. So for example, there's, and it's D-lactic acid particularly, which it's less common in humans, but it's getting more common these days. And it Yeah, they particularly talk about it in short bowel syndrome. But what ends up happening, if you have the wrong combination of the antibiotics, the vaccines, the stress during birth, the things, then at some stage when you get a certain amount of toxicity, whether it's because of a drug or a vaccine or something like that, then you can cause atonic bowel syndrome. And I've seen this for years and years as well, where these poor little babies end up with adult level reflux and full on constipation. So they get given adult levels of protein pump inhibitors, which again increase lactic acid. So not only you've got the strep that increases your lactic acid, but you've got the proton pump inhibitors, which shut down your good acid as well as the bad acid in your gut. And that starts the whole allergy thing. Because if you're not breaking down your foods properly, you're going to end up with allergies.
My allergies are not breaking down your food
Oh,
properly.
absolutely. So, you can imagine the molecule of, say, a long chain of the molecule of, say, gluten, for example. I can't remember, but it's about 250 bits long in all these little proteins together. If you don't break them down into bits between, say, 4 and 8 bits long before it leaves the stomach, you've got a gluten intolerance. So your stomach acid is designed to break down your proteins, and it's nearly always proteins, that causes allergies. And if you don't break it down, you end up with intolerances and allergies. And only 3% of the wheat and gluten intolerance, by the way, is found in blood tests.
So
Ninety-seven percent.
is that because it starts off people eating the wrong thing, and that makes a, if you keep eating the right foods, wouldn't that sort of self-correct?
Not necessarily, because we've already changed the microbiome because of the combination of antibiotics, protein pump inhibitors, vaccines, the birthing
So
process.
you really
You
need
know,
to,
there's
you
already
really
been
need to
so much.
clear it out internally.
Because if you don't, and this is where golden seal. Now, it's one of my favorite herbs, but it's also expensive. But you need, and I said this to one of my mums of an autistic boy last week, you have to chase the mucus. We don't know how many. So, for example, Golden Seal, it comes in two brands. Like Nature's Sunshine is available on iHerb and things like that. Here in Australia, Mediherb is another really good brand. But you've got to chase the mucus. So basically, you can start with one a day, see whether it changes
Well,
the
Golden
sign.
Seal dries everything out.
Well, it's a mucolytic. So what it does
And it sort of
is,
gives a little bit of constipation.
well, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe,
Maybe. I
it
went to
can.
India and I had this bowel thing,
Yeah.
and it went for ages, and it was like diarrhea, but
Yeah.
not quite that bad.
Yeah.
And Golden Seal, 250 mils, teaspoon in the morning at night. And this had been, couldn't get rid of it. I tried everything, all the wormwoods, all of those ones, all the, what do you call them?
Oh, the anti-parasitics.
I took all of them,
Yeah.
all the standard things, and it didn't work. And then one thing of Golden Seal fixed it and never came back,
Yeah.
which I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
And because I'm a bit of a Golden Seal fan.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about Golden Seal is that particularly the staph and strep, it really
I
is
don't know.
good at
Because it's
destroying the
interesting
cell
because
membrane.
they.
Can I just say one thing? The problem with antibiotics when you're using them in relation to things like staph and strep, so two really common bacterial infections, is that sometimes the bacteria, which has cell walls, can disintegrate, so it's a non-cell wall bacteria. So in live blood, I used to see this all the time where you'd see, especially with kids who had had lots of antibiotics, you'd see all these little long skinny things and they'd be whipping around, like a whip. Like they honestly used to look like a whip. They were awesome to see. And that's a non-cell walled bacteria that's been broken down because of medications that hasn't been cleaned up. And when we go on antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic, and you don't clean up the residue with herbs or nutrition or something, then you're building your bacterial load in the body, but not enough to show up in blood tests because the non-cell walled bacteria don't show up. So you're getting sicker and sicker and sicker, doing lots of tests. Nothing's happening because antibiotics don't kill them. They self-disintegrate. They don't want to die.
Well, Golden Seal is a really good tonic anyway, because apart from doing that, it's also like if you've got a sore that doesn't heal and you get Golden Seal and lanolin, which is how you buy it, and it heals. And that's amazing, but nothing else works. And so I just imagine that going through the inside because it's oral, you can take it orally. And imagine, so leaky gut, all kinds of little infections that might just help.
Yeah, absolutely. And because SIBO is so
Things that.
common, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and staph and strep are two, but they're just two of the hundreds of things that it can be. But because it's got
It's
such
good
good
for them
anti,
too.
SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, but you've got to kill the stuff off and then you've got to boost the good guys. So you can't do them
With
simultaneously.
probiotics.
Like you could potentially do, say, Golden Seal or those herbs in the morning and then probiotics at night. You could maybe do that, but there's no point taking them both at the same time.
Yeah, you gotta whack one.
But
Whack
it's,
it first.
yeah, whack-a-mole. Yeah, so it's one of those things. You've got to kill the bad guys off and then create some space so that the good guys can get in. And the other thing they found with these kids is that it's not the bifidus strains of good probiotics, it's the acidophilus strains that have been destroyed. So bifidus tend to be fine, whereas the acidophilus is really low, and there are specific strains of that we need to increase. But Golden Seal's good for the immune system and digestion and eye health, and it's antimicrobial, and also can help with allergies and stuff as well. And it's a bitter herb, isn't it?
It is bitter.
So, and bitters, what the bitters do is also stimulate your hydrochloric acid in your gut. They stimulate liver and gallbladder
It's
function.
funny, eating more and more of the white foods like we're
Yes.
talking about, there's less and less bitterness in that.
Oh, yeah,
Because
absolutely.
a lot of the foods that are really good for helping with that stuff, things like fermented foods, even simple fermenting like yogurt,
Yeah.
things like sauerkraut, things like pickled things,
Yes.
they're actually all bitter.
Yeah.
And so, we're leaving more and more of that bitterness out of our
No, yeah.
diet. Because even though people are thinking, oh, go simple, but they're leaving the bitterness out. Like a
Yeah.
lot of people will go to, say, carnivore diet,
Yes.
but when they do that, they leave out a lot of the, because, they're going that way, but a lot of the vegetable things are like pickled onions, all these, they're all bitter.
Yeah.
And to get that bitterness is really important. What are the, because in,
Because we've got, I think we've got more bitter receptors in our body than cannabinoid receptors, and we've got a hell of a
Right.
lot of cannabinoid
Because in
receptors.
Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurveda, they all have an emphasis on those foods
Yes.
that are both bitter and what are the other ones?
Yeah. But don't
That we
forget,
don't have
though,
in Western
and
diet
again,
food.
I know you don't like the science behind carnivore diet,
No,
but
no,
by,
no.
but no.
I'm like talking about,
But when you hit, but what the
I'm
protein
talking about
does.
diet limiting.
Yes, I know. But when the protein hits the gut from a carnivore diet, that's stimulating hydrochloric acid. That's the key to the
Yeah,
bitter
because it's
herbs
so
as
hard to
well.
digest.
No, that's not it. That's not it. We need hydrochloric acid to break down any protein. And bitters stimulate the hydrochloric acid. By not having anything except for protein in a meal means it's easy to digest. It's hard to digest if you have it with chips. It's hard to digest if you have it with a sandwich. It's hard to digest if you have it with beer.
Not
But
that,
having
but
it on its own,
no, but
it's not a problem.
that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is people are leaving bitter foods out of their diet in general.
Yes, but the bitter foods are to increase stimulating the
That's not
liver,
all
the
they're for.
gallbladder, and well, that's
Well,
you know,
I know,
it's
but we're looking at Golden Seal. The bitterness there isn't about that. The bitterness there is about healing,
yes.
right? Which is,
Absolutely.
and that's the point I'm making, is that the more bitter foods, those healing opportunities we
Yeah.
miss out on. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
all I was saying.
Yeah. And one of the other things about the strep bacteria, because the strep, and I think I started this before, the streptococcus doesn't want the healthy foods because it doesn't get fed by the healthy foods. And again, because bugs in our intestines have got over 1 million genes. Those genes are all about keeping them alive. So if they then release the enzymes and the hormones, if the bugs release the enzymes and the hormones in order to make you want to eat a cheese sandwich, a cheese white bread sandwich, so that you're getting nothing in there except the stuff going feed me,
What sort of
feed
bugs are they? Are they
me.
bacteria?
The streptococcus is a bacteria.
Right.
Yeah, Staphylococcus is a bacteria. But parasites want the same thing. That's the fun thing,
They do, don't they?
so they also want a sweet acidic environment,
That's what I mean. And that's what I mean about
and even viral particles, that's sort of like the cells
It's
detoxify.
just that I know that a lot of people, like what I was saying before, people when they go to carnivore diet, they oversimplify. Just as people who do a lot of fasting, they
Yeah.
oversimplify. And so losing that variety, which is those bitter things that
Yeah.
we, the reason we'll take Golden Seal is because we haven't had enough bitterness in general. Would
Yeah.
that be right?
I think you've got a lot of bitterness in general. Just joking.
I admit that. I can be quite toxic.
No, just joking, obviously. But yeah, so hopefully
Right.
that's been a really nice overview, because
Yeah. That's really interesting
I
stuff.
think it's really interesting. And what I was going to say was that they blame the streptococcus overload on short bowel syndrome. But what often happens, and this has happened in a lot of our little darling autistic kids, at some moment in their life when they've had a vaccine, they've had a vagal nerve dystonia. And remember, the vagus nerve is around every single organ of the body. So then the bowel doesn't work. And again, these poor little babies are given adult doses of drugs like Osmolax, which is a constipation, it's an awful drug that gets the bowel moving, but it doesn't fix the peristalsis in the bowel. So basically, and then eventually they end up going and having part of their bowels removed. quite
Lucky
often
enough.
within months of life. So you can imagine within the first few months of life with some of these kids, we've got a crappy microbiome because of antibiotics. We've messed with the vagus nerve because of the vaccines. We've given them PPIs, protein pump inhibitors, because the poor little darlings have reflux all day long, and Osmolex because of the constipation. They've got this strep overload with this sinus stuff all the time. They have their tonsils and adenoids removed and grommets put in.
You
They're
know,
sort of screwed
no, and like,
neurologically.
and another thing too, especially with kids with ASD with autism, nearly always they have a limited diet because there's only certain things they'll eat, either because of texture or
Yes.
because so often
But
they'll.
is it the texture or is it the bugs telling them not to eat the other things?
Whichever it is, I'm just saying that
I'm just playing.
but what I was saying before about limiting the diet choices, kids who are neurodiverse have an automatically limited diet because they don't like to eat things that normal kids
Yeah, but
do.
it's not carnivore they aim
Well, it
towards.
doesn't matter what it is, it's the same
It's
thing.
white. It's white sugar, it's white flour, it's white bread.
Well, I don't know why, but I don't think I was talking about. Anyway, I don't want to argue about carnivore diet because limitation is limitation. And so and that leaves you vulnerable to an eating of more other things. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's not an ideological thing. I mean, I could argue ideologically being a vegetarian, but I don't.
Yeah. No,
Because
I'm, but it's a
I
huge
don't say what I
difference.
think about that.
No, it's a huge difference. If you have something that has lots of good fats in it, then your brain is going to be more protected.
Sure.
I've seen the carnivore
And
diet reverse autism. I've seen it.
okay.
So, it is absolutely possible because there's so much nutrition in it.
Yeah, but it's limiting. Okay.
But if that's what they're willing to eat, that's nutritious. White bread sandwiches is not.
Yeah, sure. But
Anyway,
okay.
so it's just a yes, it's limited, absolutely, and it might be missing out on stuff, absolutely. But on the other hand, the world is
No,
so toxic and
I
our
know,
food is so
but the thing
toxic.
with the carnivore veg, it's become ideological and it's become a bit political. And I've been vegetarian for 40 years and I haven't seen it become like this before, where people have been so aggressive in their arguments about it. And especially when the only reason people are vegetarian for large is to be a little bit kinder. And so and what I see as an overall thing is there's a lack of kindness in the regulations that are causing these things by just going, we're looking at the money and we don't care. We're looking at the science and the money and we don't care. That's a lack of compassion. And maybe vegetarianism doesn't help that, but you know, I come from a place like that.
No, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, but so, you know, and I know the diet things are the way they are, but and but I'm open-minded about that
My
stuff.
brain constantly thinks proteins, fats, carbs, proteins, fats, carbs, protein, fats, carbs, because just about everything, whether it's Alzheimer's or diabetes or cancer or neurodiverse thing, there's always too much carbs. And
Yes.
those sugars and those refined foods feed ill health. They feed acidity. They feed the bad bacteria. They feed the parasites.
But there's stresses and ideological stresses are similar to physiological stresses. Would that be right?
Well, look, if you're stressed,
Hmm.
your sh gut shuts down.
Hmm.
If your gut shuts down, you're not digesting anything again. If your gut shuts down, you're more likely to have an overgrowth of bad bacteria. But they have to be in there seeded to get started. The problem is that babies are being born with an already damaged microbiome because we've got 60 years of antibiotics and vaccines and, PPIs and all these sort of drugs. And again, it's become normalized, but just because something's normalized doesn't make it healthy.
All right.
All right.
But we're in a time of history of change, I
We
think.
are. It's very exciting. Like even, and this is just a little factoid, even when you buy something that says natural flavor on it, guess how many chemicals can be in natural flavorings?
Oh, at least two.
8,000. Up to 8,000 chemicals in natural flavorings. It's just bloody hilarious. And most of which, and again, Bobby Kennedy is passing a rule at the moment, or passing a law, where they're not allowed to get away with GRAS anymore, so generally regarded as safe. So because the food industry, which of course is similar in
Well.
Australia, so I don't care, Americans, Australians, I know there's differences in Europeans, but we suck here in Australia. So, but there's thousands and thousands of chemicals that have been regulated by the food industry itself, where they just tick a box and say, yep, generally regarded as safe. They've never done food safety testing.
But we all do have the freedom to buy organics
We do.
and to buy whole foods, and we don't have to buy any of that stuff, and we're buying that stuff out of choice. Whole foods have not stopped being
Yes, but
available.
people don't know that it's bad for them.
No, I know, I
Because
know,
if
I
governments
know.
are out there
But I'm just,
pushing things,
yeah, I know that. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is the healthy alternatives have always been available for everybody.
but people don't know what's healthy.
Well, but or they've been advertised into buying products.
Yes.
So whether they know what's healthy or not, they're being told, they see it on TV, look at the foods being advertised.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV, but they come on even YouTube, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all, I get meat ads all the time, and
Yeah,
I don't
right.
get meat.
That's pretty
Well,
funny.
they claim they know the people, and it's like, well, I'm like, well, maybe they do. They just want to like hammer those people. But any, nearly any ad's going to be that I get is going to be a McDonald's ad or a fast food ad that has meat in it, ironically. And they say, oh, they know that person. So maybe they do know the person, just annoy that person.
Maybe they know that Jaya would love it.
Imagine watching a spiritual video and that's the ad that comes up.
Yeah.
Such a blessing from the advertisers. But they're teaching people to eat things that are unhealthy.
Absolutely.
And
They always have.
but the whole foods have always been available and we can choose them.
You know, there's that thing called the bliss point. So it was, I think it was back in 1957, as my guess. Oh no, they reckon it was the 1970s. So it was the bliss point was developed by Howard Moskowitz, an experimental psychologist in the 1970s. He discovered the optimal balance of sugar, salt, and fat that made fat irresistibly appealing, revolutionizing the food industry. That's why people get addicted to things.
Yeah, they did, and it's called cradle to grave advertising.
Cradle to grave.
But
Ain't
you
that the
learn about it, you
truth?
go to uni, and that's what they teach you.
Yeah.
And it really is that.
Okay, well, we could babble on forever, so I think we should babble on.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Hopefully you learned something in there, guys. Make a comment, question if there's anything you want us to chat about, and I'd love to delve more into this at some stage.
Yes, let's do it.
Cool. Okay. See you, everyone.
Have fun.